Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature, our Bet 365 triple option feature. At 5:20, Dick Girardi will join us. Dick's been covering the horse racing scene for over 40 years. And this coming Saturday, Charlie, it has become a major event. Not so much that, you know, because it's a, sort of a couple generations have passed. But, it, man, it's more about getting all dressed up, getting, you know, looking good for the Derby. I think for some of them, a good half of them, they have no idea about the horse racing business. But it's an event. That's what it is more than anything else.
No, absolutely. And you're 100% spot on. I think people more care about, like, the status of it, right, than the actual racing event. But, listen, man, it's pretty historic. So, you know, we're going to talk with Dick in just a little bit here about some of the horses and the favorites and some of his best picks, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember when, you know, Buddy DiLiberto was alive, did so many shows with Buddy, and him and his son Mike would go to the Derby every year. Man, Buddy was betting on races Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That, it was a horse bettor's dream to go to the Derby because, I mean, it's just not the Kentucky Derby there. They got races for 3 days there. And, man, that was the highlight of his year. And even though he loved football, he loved baseball, basketball, everything else, man, that was nothing like the Kentucky Derby, the Belmont, the Preakness for him because, man, you know, you had so many races that you could lay a few coins on to see if you could win or not.
Yeah, and they also have all the props about, you know, Triple Crown winners. Is there going to be a Triple Crown winner in 2025? On top of just, you know, the regular props for the Kentucky Derby itself, the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby, Mike, it's been around for quite a while.
Yeah, and boy, you talk about, you know, when we have the Super Bowl here in New Orleans, what the boon is, you know, for the economy and everything else. Just look at what hits Kentucky, you know, for that 3 or 4 day stretch. Oh, my goodness. You talk about they got people there and they are all over the place from the track to the infield, everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's an awesome event. It's one of those every single year people tune into, almost kind of like the Masters, right? And like the only horse race that I'll watch every year is the Kentucky Derby. Just like I don't watch a ton of golf, but every single year I'm locked into the Masters. It's, you know, it's like the Super Bowl of its respective sport.
Charlie, one of the things he's maybe got overlooked a little bit. I can't say totally overlooked, but kind of just he's not the frontline guy because he doesn't play quarterback. That's the one thing Hebert gets right about this world. Everything, everybody in every position gets trumped by the quarterback. And with Tyler Shuck, he's getting certainly a lot of attention. But in talking to people in the league about Kelvin Banks Jr., and everybody had him ranked a little bit different, anywhere from 10 to, say, 22, 23 in that range of players and where they would go overall. Man, I've heard nothing but praise about Kelvin Banks Jr., not only him as a player, Charlie, but him as a locker room leader. And, you know, we heard Archie Manning speak Monday night when we were at the Silver Slipper Casino for Second Guess, talk about, you know, Little Arch made the comment that, man, he's the best football player on his team and such a great leader, but he doesn't say a lot. But I had a scout tell me, you know, he's one of these type of guys that everything in his locker has to be just right. You know, okay, the brush, pad, pen, whatever he's got in there, cell phone, charger, everything's got to be just right. That's typical of most offensive linemen. Now, defensive linemen, man, it looked like the tornado passed through the locker, most of theirs. But offensive linemen, man, most of them are really neat as a pin. And they tell me Kelvin Banks Jr. is just like that and have just spoke about him in the highest terms about his play, his integrity, and his leadership skills. And he's still a young pup. I mean, because, you know, he's coming out after his junior year. They've gotten this right, along with Shuck at quarterback. So you to get a left tackle and a quarterback and say you have them for 10 years, you score DA if that happens. Now, again, you got to do it out on the field. And, you know, also injuries come into play, but been fortunate Kelvin Banks. He's been nicked a little bit, and he was nicked last year a little, but it didn't, you know, cost him any games. He played through it. With Chuck, it was the, you know, broken femur and the collarbone. And that's major injuries with a broken bone. It's not a soft tissue injury or anything like that. But nothing but really high praise for Kelvin Banks Jr. as a player and as a leader. And I think that's something this football team really, that's music to our ears to hear.
So when we spoke with Greg Allman from Fox Sports yesterday about this, Mike, he made a great comment that taking an offensive lineman with a top 15 pick in back-to-back drafts is building your offense, quote-unquote, from the ground up. Those are the words that he used. And we've heard Kellen talk about it multiple times, that it's a big boys game, that they want to build through the trenches from the inside out, and all these other terms that they've used, talking about getting the Saints in the place that they need to be with where Philadelphia was, right, with their offensive and defensive lines. You got to build through the trenches. And with Kelvin Banks specifically, Mike, and I know you've come out and talked about this, but I think it's a great point, because now the question is, what is the Saints plan for Kelvin Banks? Like, where do they envision him playing? And for me, I agree with you, and I just want you to rehash this, that picking Kelvin Banks at 9, he's your left tackle. And you're going to move Taliese Fuaga, who was a natural right tackle at Oregon State before you had to shift him over to left tackle this past year. You're going to move him back over to the right side. And then if Kelvin Banks hits, we know that Taliese Fuaga is a great NFL tackle, and he's still super young. You can have those bookend tackles for the next 10 years. And that's the Saints' vision here, because not every team has great offensive line play. And being able to have left tackle and right tackle figured out with two young studs, that's an enviable position to be in, Mike.
Yeah, my thing is, Charlie, I don't like swinging guys around, you know, guard to tackle and all this other stuff. He's been a natural left tackle. Put him at left tackle. I think Fuaga did a good job last year. First time ever on the left side. He was a right tackle throughout his entire career, from high school to college, and then they moved him. It was a necessity. You had to do it. But it is different. Footwork is different. Your leverage is different. Your hand placement's different. All of it is different when you move from the right side to the left or vice versa. Same thing. So, okay, Banks is your left tackle. Fuaga's your right tackle. You know who's your center in Eric McCoy. You know who's your right guard in Cesar Ruiz. Figure out what's going to happen at left guard. I would much rather have that particular spot be something that I've got to straighten out than I continually move these guys around. I do believe one thing with offensive line, and all of them will tell you the same, continuity. Understanding what you're doing at that particular spot. Now, sometimes a center has played guard and a guard has played center, but moving all that stuff around, Charlie, I'm not an advocate of that. And I know they got to say it now. You know, it's open competition. He could play left guard, right tackle, whatever. My thing is, put him at left tackle, put Fuaga at the right tackle spot, McCoy center, Ruiz right guard, and figure out your left guard position. Figure that out. because now you've got four-fifths of your offensive line. Now, what you've got to hope for is that you've got enough depth built up, because I've said this before in a study I did a couple years ago, it's the most injured players out on a football field. Tackles, guards, centers. You better have some depth there, because you're going to have some downtime with injuries to one or even a couple of those guys. And last year was even more than a couple for the Saints. So my thing is, let Kelvin Banks Jr. play left tackle. Let Fuaga go back to his natural right tackle spot. You have two of your inside guys, and figure out what you're going to do at left guard.
And as you mentioned, have an open competition for that left guard spot. I'm with you. I know that some draft analysts saw Banks maybe at the next level as a guard, but I think, once again, he's played left tackle for 3 years at Texas, and he started basically every single game that he could have. I think he missed the SEC championship game this past year, Mike, with that ankle injury. But then he played in the college football playoffs, so it wasn't like a huge deal. He was right back at it. The durability of the guy was also a real key to kind of selling him to the Saints with that ninth overall selection. But, you know, the leadership that he brings to the offensive line, he was a captain at Texas, just a great guy just speaking with him. You can kind of hear his personality through the phone. But then also seeing his play on the field, he just feels like such a safe, high floor prospect with also some real high upside too. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the Saints offensive line and Taliese Fuaga, what he did last year, and then what you're expecting out of Kelvin Banks this upcoming season. Yeah, it's you got bookend tackles and you feel really good about it.
It'd have been something if he'd have come to LSU like he told us he almost did, and then Coach O got released and he changed his mind. He went to Texas instead. Man, you'd have had five of five, Charlie.
That's
five offensive all in one shot. But I get it. Listen, sometimes God puts you in the right place, right time, and he put him in Texas, and it was the right spot for him. We come back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. We'll have on with us Dick Girouard. He's covered the horse racing scene for over 40 years, talking about the Kentucky Derby right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTay along with Charlotte Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, courtesy of betonline.ag. Yeah, he's covered a few races in the past. Dick Girardi. Dick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Happy to join you guys always.
Dick, and you've done this for a long time. And to look how the coverage today, and certainly social media has a lot to do with it. I don't know that half of the people that go to the Derby are really worried about the race. They're worried about what they're wearing, how they look. It's more of a social scene than anything else. Now, that part's changed throughout the years. But, man, the explosion of how the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont or coverage has been covered throughout the years. It's phenomenal, the growth with it. And I do give a lot of it, and there is some negative, certainly with the social media world. But the positive is it gives another generation or two a look into the horse racing world that they didn't really grow up with.
No, that's really well said, and it's all true. I mean, the Derby is fascinating, right? It's always been incredibly popular. It's more popular now than it's ever been. I mean, they keep building on. Every time you get in, there's another building. There's two other buildings, new paddock last year for Derby 150. So, yeah, it's incredibly popular, and you're right, the coverage, and NBC will be there for hours on Saturday. It's always a great scene, no question.
Tell us a little bit about journalism, which for many people is the favorite in the Kentucky Derby, kind of stock that he comes from. And being a favorite at the Kentucky Derby hasn't really been kind to a lot of the horses. But your thoughts on journalism?
So there was a little bit of good run for favorites in from 2004 on to 2018 through Justify. But you're right. Recently, we've gotten Rich Strike and we've gotten these other wild 20-1, 25-1 winners. So, yeah, favorites definitely not been kind in recent years. Journalism has won four straight. He won what I thought was the best of the prep races, the San Felipe Stakes on March 1st at Santa Anita. And then he came back to win the Santa Anita Derby in early April. He's the son of Curl, and it was a two-time Horse of the Year. Was a phenomenal racehorse, won the Breeders' Cup Classic as a three-year-old, and just was won the Preakness, just missed winning the Belmont. Really, really good horse, and has turned into a top sire. And Journalist is also trained by Michael McCarthy, who worked for years with Todd Pletcher, California guy, and it was going to win a Derby someday. This looks like his turn. He's got a great horse, and he's bringing him there in top shape.
I have a friend of mine who's big into the horse racing, and man, he's been in my ear, Sovereignty. It's like, Mike, you want to win some money? Sovereignty. So give us a little breakdown of Sovereignty. I know one thing, he's got quite the jockey on top of him.
Yeah, look, no question. He's a major contender in the race. Trained by Bill Mott, who's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. Junior Alvarado is a terrific jockey. And Bill and Junior together have formed a great partnership. Source won the Fountain of Youth, and then he was second in the Florida Derby. But that wasn't really the goal. The goal was Saturday. He has the right running style. His breakthrough race actually came at Churchill Downs last October. He was just kind of an afterthought in the Street Sense Stakes. And then the bettors caught on, and he was the favorite. He won by a bunch, and that was the day everybody said, oh, this is a pretty good horse. He's got great bloodlines, nothing not to like about Sovereignty. So, yeah, your friend's on to something. He's definitely a major contender.
When you look at it, if you had, say, a wild card, here in the Kentucky Derby. That's not one of the top four or five from a betting standpoint favorites to keep an eye on. Who would you put in that category?
Yeah, I'm giving you 9, Burnham Square. I loved his race when he won the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland, which is in Lexington, you know, an hour or so from Louisville. That was his final big prep race. But more importantly, his final workout, I thought, was the best of any of the Derby contenders last weekend. It just, there's just something about when you watch him, you just said, man, this horse is just crying to run, and he'll obviously get his chance on Saturday. And he's 12-1 on the line. He could go higher. So that's my best double-digit odds possibility in the race.
I think there's a lot of really fun, you know, just props via betonline.ag. Yep. I wanted to get your thoughts on some of them that stood out to me. The winning distance over under 1.5 lengths, the winning time over under 122.5 seconds. I went and looked up, you know, the past winners of the Kentucky Derby, and that's like right on the number, like 2 minutes, 3 seconds, 2 minutes, 1 second. It's really, really tight. I just want to get your thoughts on some of those props.
Yeah, no, these guys are good, right? They're not giving away anything. That's why it's an over under 50-50 shot. The winning distance prop, I actually like the over there. Look, I'm all over journalism. I think he's like a lot better than these horses. He's going to need some racing luck and all the stuff you always need. I think he could win by 3 or 4 legs. So I would take the over. And the good news about that, let's say journalism doesn't win, but if some other horse wins by more than a length and a half, you still cash. As far as the time, there's a chance we're going to get some rain. I would hold off on that bet at Bet Online until Saturday. Watch some of the earlier races, get a sense of how fast or slow the surface is, and then you can jump in whether you want to go over or under on the listed time.
Yeah, another one that stood out as well, Dick, is the wire-to-wire winner prop, 4-1 odds for yes, and then 1-7 for no. Your thoughts on, you know, if journalism is better than the rest of the field, if he'll be a wire-to-wire winner?
Yeah, he won't be. He's probably going to be in the right scenario that I'm hoping for. I see him like 5th or 6th as the field hits the backstretch, you know, with not quite a little less than a mile to go. There are a number of confirmed speed horses. Now, we just did have an announced scratch. Rodriguez, the 4, is not going to run. So that puts 21 Baeza into the field. We'll still have 20 unless there's another scratch between now and the race. But Rodriguez is one of the speed horses. That's one less speed horse. There's a couple horses, if they're going to win, that's the only way they're going to win. Citizen Bull's going to need to get loose on the lead. Certainly Owen Almighty, East Avenue, that's how they all run. The problem is they all run the same way. So the likelihood of any of them getting an easy lead and going all the way is not great. So I would be kind of anti the wire-to-wire for Saturday.
Dick, I have a friend of mine who's he's got money that's burning through his hole of his pants, so to speak. Render judgment, he tells me. What about render judgment?
Yeah, I mean, he's trained by Ken McPeak, who won the Derby last year, right? So he knows his way to the winner's circle. He hasn't done a lot that gives you a lot of confidence in the horse, and he actually has what's known as a quarter crack. It's a minor thing, but they're working on it to make sure he's okay to run. So, look, if you like long shots, I don't know if I want to talk your friend off of it. He's going to be 50 or 60 to 1. And again, after Rich Strike 3 years ago, we're not ready to say anything is not possible. But, yeah, he's a long – render judgment's a long shot for a reason. He just hasn't done a lot yet on the track.
He got that dreaded word to him, Dick, potential.
Yeah.
It's the most dreaded word in sports.
Yep. Oh, isn't it right?
Dick, when you think about it, a lot of times the Derby winner has not run in the second race, you know, and they've kind of, you know, take the week off, so to speak, and then, you know, they'll catch race 3 of the big races. Is that a judgment of the trainer to say, I don't think he runs well enough on that track, and I'll run him in Kentucky Derby, and I'll run him in the last one, but I'm not going to run him in the middle one.
So most of the time it would be about Oh, it's only 2 weeks. Like Rich Strike right. did not, after he won the Derby, the trainer and the owner just didn't feel like he was ready to run in the Preakness. It turned out he wasn't ready to run anywhere. He never won another race, but that's a whole other story. But
that's right.
You know, most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time, the Derby winner comes to the Preakness. There are times maybe the horse got hurt. That did happen. I'm thinking way back to 1996. Grindstone won the race, but he just was unable to run in the Preakness. They would have liked to, but yeah, I think you can probably count on the Derby winner running in the Preakness unless there's some extenuating circumstance that we really couldn't predict at the moment.
Dick, I was telling this to Charlie because, you know, the guy that did this before, you know, him and I have done it, Buddy DiLiberto. Buddy, you know, he would go to the Derby every year. And he'd always tell me, Mike, yeah, man, I love betting on the Kentucky Derby. But, man, it's all the other races I could bet on. For a lot of people, that's eye-opening that, what, it's more than one race? Explain me. But now television has opened that up for everybody.
Oh, for sure. So the racing starts at 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and goes to like 8 o'clock at night. There's 14 races. The Derby is race number 12. There's actually two races after the Derby. And the reason Churchill Downs does that is they don't want everybody leaving at the same time. They'd like a few people to hang around so the traffic can move. It's hard. I don't know if you guys have been, but it's right in the middle of a neighborhood. It's not an easy place to move around in. But, yeah, the 14 races, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., so you're talking 9 hours of action, and it is some scene. I've been 35 times, and you always see something different at whatever Derby you're at, for sure.
Dick, the best way to describe it to people who maybe have never been there is it's almost like going to an old college stadium. It's kind of one way in and sort of one way out. And that's just the way it is. And you can't get all those people out in one shot. And so you understand why they got the 14 races. But that would be the best way for me to describe it to people is that it would remind me of an old college football stadium that you're going in back in the 60s. And you got that one sort of highway that brings you there. A couple outlets here and there. But really, it's one way in, one way out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, it's all surface roads. Again, a neighborhood surrounds the track. There's a few businesses, but it's mostly just residential around the racetrack. And the nearest highway, the Waterston Expressway, is a couple miles away, and you're trying to escape there, but it can take you hours to get out of there because, yeah, it's the old football stadium with 150,000 fans who are waiting for the one big event. But, yeah, that's one of the many smart things they've done at Churchill. They stagger those last two races, so at least some of the people will stay around. And you're actually smart to stay around because if you don't beat the traffic immediately, you're not going anywhere for 2 hours anyway.
Yeah, it's you're in the parking lot, so to speak.
Exactly.
And you're not moving. And
no, you're not.
Nothing would get me more angry than being stuck in traffic for a couple hours. Dick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great to have you on. And, man, when the Preakness comes, we'll get you back on.
Sounds good. Look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Jig Girardi, he's done this basically 40 years covering the racing scene. Does a great job for betonline.com. Ag. When we come back, it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature right here on the Big 870 WWL.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. It's our Bet 365 triple option feature. Steven, you first.
Well, the Saints rookie quarterback, the guy that took in the second round, Tyler Shuck, has been around the NOLA scene for a little bit already. He got to go to Drago's, had his first taste of those char-grilled oysters over there. Congrats to him and whoever's recommending those food choices for Shuck. I'm glad he got a taste of New Orleans and was at Drago's first off. But he was on a radio station in Arizona today, Sports 360 AZ, and was asked, "All right, so what jersey are you going to wear with the Saints this year?" And he said, "I don't know yet, hoping for 6 or 18. I think that's the quarterback numbers they have left. We'll try and get 6, I guess, and we'll see what happens. But I'm not big on it. 6 is less than 9, kind of opposite of 12. 18 is 9+9, so it works out in the long run from the Louisville connection. I'm not going to wear Archie or Drew's number. No way. Those guys are legends. Now, you may say, wait a minute, how is 18 available? That was Spencer Rattler. But Rattler's actually switched over to number 2 this year. So 18 and 6 available for Shuck. It'll be interesting to see, I guess, which way it goes. Don't be ordering your Tyler Shuck jersey just yet, Hudat.
Yeah, Steve, I remember in college, Archie wore 18.
Right.
And then, you know, that 18 was filled, and Archie didn't want to spend no money to buy it for nobody. So he was like, you got it. I'll go to 8. It's good enough for me. Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with Mike. You and I have talked about this off air, and I wanted to bring it up on air now. You know, with the Raiders draft, in John Spytek's first year as the GM there, I thought he did awesome. And I know that Jason Light gets a ton of credit for what he's done in Tampa Bay, but Spytek coming over from Tampa Bay to Vegas, he did a great job in his first year. Obviously taking Ashton Jeanty with the 6th overall pick in the first round. But this is what I wanted to bring up, Mike. Jack Besh in the second round at pick 56, the 26th overall pick in the second round, I think is fantastic value. Because if you're looking at this wide receiver class, you know, there's a couple of variables with guys past the top few. Jack Besh just, to me, screams like he's going to be a stud at the NFL level. I know that you've had a very interesting comp for him, and I wanted you to share it here on air. I know you've talked about it before, but Jack Besh in the NFL, what do you kind of see?
Okay, he could catch a BB if I threw it at him.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's got those type hands. He's not the fastest guy around, though he's got a little, you know, giddy up in the step once he makes the catch. Reminds me a lot of Puka Nacua. I mean, if you put them side by side, they basically the same size. They sort of run the same speed. Here's the difference, and people sometimes don't get this. They football fast. Some guys, you put a helmet and pads on them, they can be 4.31 sprinters. They 4.55 with a helmet and a pad on. You put a guy who he'll run a 40 and 4.55 or 4.6. Put it on them, they rarely get caught. Bobby always talks about Eric Martin. Eric ran like a 4.75 40-yard dash. He was a former running back. They put it at wide receiver. He did a great job for LSU. Now, I don't want Eric or Jack or Puka running, you know, anchor on my football 400-meter relay team, but I want them on my football team because they're football players. And that's what you get with Jack Besh. And I think about that one year they all came out at one time. You had LSU recruit and sign Malik Nabers Jr., Brian Thomas Jr., Malik, Jack Besh. You know who was the highest ranked guy? He never played for LSU. Deion Smith Jr., who went to Ole Miss. I think he might be still trying to get eligible. I know he jumped a couple junior colleges, but think about those three guys in one recruiting class, the greatest wide receiver recruiting class ever at LSU, to have that. And Charlie, I'll add on to this. I think a big part of Spivak was him sitting down and working out a blueprint
with
a guy by the name of Tom Brady.
Oh, okay. My thing with Spytek is I think that, you know, with Carroll, some of the picks they made, we had been projecting Jeanty going to 6th to them for a long time. And it was because it's exactly what, you know, Pete Carroll wants to do with an offense. But also getting Jack Besh, one of the, you know, bigger body receivers in this draft class, because it's a lot of slot guys and a lot of smaller guys, 6'2", 215 pounds. The Lafayette, Louisiana native, Mike, in the second round, I think it's a steal. And I think he's going to quickly become one of the best receivers on that roster, if not the wide receiver one pretty quickly.
You know, I look at the Raiders, and they got Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
My thing is, the Patriots, they ain't got squat at receiver. How the hell they let him go? Somebody there did a bad evaluation. Because you watch the Raiders, okay, and Brock Bowers is who he is, okay? He has turned into one of the best tight ends in pro football in one year. But Jacoby Myers has played in this league a few years, and the Patriots just sort of said, okay, you're not good enough. What? Man, you just watch him out on the field and setting him up with Jeanty at running back and Geno Smith at quarterback, and then you have Myers, Bowers, and Besh, that's pretty good. I'll be honest with you, their offensive line's not bad.
Nope.
It's not a bad offensive line at all. people say, oh, the offensive line sucks. No, the quarterback sucks. He couldn't get rid of the ball quick enough. Their offensive line is solid across the board. And, man, the one thing with Pete Carroll, ain't nobody broke him the news that the Raiders ain't going to win a lot of games. You know, he is the ultimate guy from a standpoint of pumping sunshine up your backside. There's nothing bad in the world with Pete Carroll. He is always that type of guy that's positive 24/7, 365. And to bring in him and to have the expertise of a guy like Brady, who knows talent, he understands what will fit. And the fact that him and Spivak, you know, were at Michigan at the same time, good friends with one another, I think they're on the right track to getting that team back to being a formidable team. Now, again, in that division, you got the Chiefs, you got the Broncos, and you got the Chargers. Man, you got a mountain to climb, but they're starting to put those bricks in place, you know, on the foundation. And I like what they've done so far this offseason and also via the draft. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing off here at our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Dick Girardi for joining us this afternoon. Does a great job covering the racing scene. And Steve, you got two big-time guests coming up in the 6 and 7 o'clock hour. I know one thing with Ryan. He's getting the same questions I get. Man, who's the top players for 2026?
Yes, indeed, Mike. We're going to get Ryan Roberts, NFL draft and college football analyst for A to Z Sports. That's a 7 o'clock hour, reviewing some of the stuff with the Saints and looking ahead as well. Plus, Nick Friedell will join us next hour, breaking down some of the NBA playoffs and get with him on the latest and, you know, moves with the Pelicans. I can't remember if we talked to him yet when the Pelicans hired Joe Dumars.
Yeah, we have. We haven't talked to him yet about Troy Weaver, and so we'll throw that at him as well. But, no, we've talked to him about Dumars. He called it a dice roll, and we'll see how it works out.
Charlie, when is the lottery? That's got to be coming up soon, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's May 12th. So it's
May 12th.
Not this upcoming Monday, but the Monday afterwards, guys. So it's going to be a gigantic day.
We'll be on air when it happens, huh?
You don't need me to tell you how seismic this is going to be for the Pelicans franchise. If they can somehow get into the top three of this draft or somehow potentially land the number one overall pick and win the Cooper Flag sweepstakes, it would be just incredible. But we'll see. It's coming up, though, guys. It's within the next 2 weeks.
We all have dreams, right, guys? And maybe that was one of them for the Pelicans. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.